Hey, man, it's down to the nitty-gritty now, dog. It's the Eastern Conference Finals, Western Conference Finals. We got VO on the show, Victor Oladipo. But let's really get down to what it matters. Mm-hmm. It's about the prize picks, mm-hmm. right? It's about being able to use our promo code PIVOT, get up to $100 free. Also, about the fact that I just keep winning and that I am so much better than all of y'all.
But it's not about you, though. It's about the picks. It's not about you versus us. It's about the picks.
Oh, I'm versus him.
Versus
him. I'm about to wear his ass out this week, Freddie.
Hey,
I don't care about
it. Listen, guys.
75% of states.
Yep.
California, Texas, Florida, we all there. And it's fun. You picking players, man. I'm telling you, we love playing prize picks for the trash talk, and you can win some money.
And listen, and we know one thing Freaky Freddie is about is that money. So y'all get on prize picks, download the app, check our picks later on today on social media. You can beat them, but you ain't gonna never beat me.
Don't forget promo code PIVOT. Whatever you put in, they're going to match it up to $100. Free money. Get it in. Hey, what's happening?
Hey, how are you?
It's good, boss lady. Hey, we got a special gift for you over here.
Oh, yeah? Let me see.
Your boy.
Hi, Vic.
What's up, chef?
How are you, champ?
I'm good, champion. How are you?
I'm good. You're doing great. I love watching you.
Thank you.
Who you are.
Yes, ma'am.
That's right. That's what we're going to do, too. We miss you over here.
I'll be back soon. I have to come visit my family really quick.
How soon?
Tomorrow.
You going to come pivot with us?
Of course.
All right. We love you.
I love you.
Bye, chef.
Later.
Bye.
Peace. She's the best.
Yep. Hold up. Limitless. Take a stomach cap, pinning it. I fought the head to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling, got me up. On a mission, got me up. Knowing me, I got the key. Only vision I can trust. Trust. Limitless. Niggas send me cap, pinning it. I fought the head to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling, got me up. On a mission, got me up.
It's playoff time, man. It's like the real now, right? It's down to four. Victor Oladipo is here. Miami Heat. You want me to try it?
You can try.
Kehinde Babatunde Victor Oladipo.
That's perfect.
Perfect.
I'm a professional. Right. I'm a freaking professional.
Yes, where did you go by Babatunde? I would like that.
Nah, I don't know.
I'd be at the game. Come on, Babatunde.
It might be tough for some other people.
Hey, you sound like an old fan, though, dog.
Let's go, big fella. Yeah, I'm one of them old dudes screaming foolishness at you, bro.
So, yeah. So, man, when people look at your career and you look at it in its entirety, all-star, all-defensive team, you've been an all-NBA player, but it's been a fight to come back, to get to where you are now. How many times did you rupture your quadricep?
Technically, I only did it once.
Okay.
But then, you know, the second year coming back, I had some other technical difficulties, I guess you would call them, in my knee, which made me further look into my quadricep tear, and then I realized that I had to get it redone because it wasn't done correctly the first time. So then that's when I got it re-repaired. And then now I'm here today. That was a year ago since my last surgery. So, and now I'm standing on 2 feet, so.
How hard was it to deal with that, to be at a level where you considered one of the best in the game and then to have to fight back, not just to be a good hooper again, but to just be out there, you know what I'm saying? We're all athletes. We've all dealt with injuries and surgeries. But to have in the prime of your career something like this happen and set you back, how difficult was that for you to deal with?
It was hard. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, my whole career has honestly been hard, if you really look back at it. Like, first came in 2013. I got drafted to the Orlando Magic. Played there for 3 years. And we were, like, terrible. It was just wasn't. I had some great games there, mm-hmm. but we just couldn't figure it out, I guess you would say. Now, granted, I had 4 coaches in 3 years, and you know, we're not gonna talk about that. You know, it's really out of my power. Then, you know, I get traded to OKC, play with Russ. Matter of fact, when I got traded, I was on a plane, didn't even know I was getting traded. No one told me, no warning, nothing.
On a plane to where?
I think I was on my way to Chris Paul's camp to help him with the camp. And then I landed. I think I had a layover in Dallas. Then it was, because I remember there was a whole bunch of thunderstorms. And then I called my mom. She was like, what's going on? I said, I think I just got traded to OKC. She was like, did you know about this? I said, I had no idea. So then went there, played for a year. You know, Russ won MVP. So, you know, if you watch basketball, you watch the game of basketball, a lot was demanded of him. You know, I kind of had to play my role and kind of sit back and watch, which was beneficial for me, I think, in the long run. And then the next year, I got traded again on a plane, again, and didn't know. And then when I, like, 2 years, a year later.
He got to have PTSD every time he get on the plane.
Man, I got to make sure I have Wi-Fi every time I get on the plane.
It's insane. But literally the next year later, I'm on my way to D.C. I think I'm going home and get traded to Indy. Man, you know, I felt so disrespected. I don't know why. Well, probably because people say, you know, it was like, they got away with highway robbery. I think that was one of the articles. I still got some of them, matter of fact. And I just felt insulted because, you know, people don't really know my game. In Orlando, people didn't really get to see it. You know, in OKC, you only saw a little bit of it because, you know, I had to kind of play my role. I kind of had to play the back seat. But then in Indy, you know, I showed face. Everyone realized that I was capable of a lot more. And then you work your entire life for that. I've been playing basketball since I was 4 years old. Four. And I've been dreaming of being that guy. You know, they call your name last, the whole crowd, you know, they know who they coming to watch. They know who they're coming to see. And then boom. It's gone.
The injury.
The injury, boom, gone. Now there was things leading up to that transpired that we could talk about, you know, it'll be in depth, an in-depth conversation, but the point of it all is I tore my quad. And then, unfortunately, the people I had around me, you know, you entrust them to make the right decisions for you, to help you, to guide you. Unfortunately, you know, as a man, all you can do is look back and be like, man, you gotta take this one on the chin. As a man, you should have made the proper decision to have the right people around you. You should have vetted them, but you look back and then again, you did. And I guess you didn't vet them enough. And then, you know, things transpired. I was playing a whole, probably like a year and a half, 2 years on one leg. I came back because it was COVID. COVID hit around that time, remember? Came back, the whole world shut down. Remember, we had our bubble in Orlando? I came back, I had one leg playing in that bubble. I had one leg, definitely shouldn't have been playing. Played then in the following year, I had like 2 months to rehab because we had a shortened summer and the season started early. Came back the following year, I was on a leg and a half and played the rest of the year. Then get traded from Indy to Houston, to Miami. And then finally I get to Miami and I'm playing. It probably was my best game in a Miami Heat uniform. Boom, something happens again. At that point, I walk off the court, and I remember thinking to myself, well, at least you walked off. Because the first time, they had to bring a stretcher out.
Damn.
That's what was going through my head.
Made some progress.
Think about that. I don't know what was going on. I knew I couldn't continue playing, but in my head, I said, well, at least you walked off.
Yeah.
And they ain't see you come off with no stretcher, because I remember when my first time getting injured and I came off the stretcher, I remember when I fell, I'm sitting, like I could see my mother. My mother was in the crowd, I could see her face. And she looking at me and I'm like, she just walked down. I never forget it, she walked down. They put me on a stretcher. If you watch the video of me going to the back in the stretcher, my mom reached out for my hand. The lady don't even know it's my mom. She pulled my mom's hand away. Can you imagine?
Wow.
My mom reaching out for me, a lady pulling her hand away.
Security lady.
Right, it's emotional because, like, people don't understand what that feeling is like to be sitting there and it's 20,000 people who came to see you and they crying, people has tears in their face, everyone is dead quiet. You could see, I remember seeing the coach's face and the guy who, the trainer runs over and just puts the towel over my knee. I'm like, you ain't tell me what's wrong, nothing. I don't know what's wrong. I just know when he put the towel over my knee, usually when that happened, it's like, oh, nah, I get the stretcher.
Right.
It's a traumatic feeling. Like, I don't know if a lot of people don't get injured. You know what I'm saying? Unfortunately, there's a lot of people who do though. And I have a newfound respect for anyone who's been through what I've been through, even remotely close to what I've been through, because it tests you mentally, physically, emotionally. It makes you go through a whirlwind of emotions. literally you start thinking about if you're good enough, if I should keep playing. There was one point that I was sitting in, I said this before, I said I was sitting in a dark room and I just broke down in tears by myself because I didn't know where to go. I didn't know what to turn to. I didn't know what to do. I was trying to look for answers. And it was like right there at that point, when I reached that point, it was like answer after answer after answer after answer after answer after answer after that. And, you know, luckily for me, I realized through this process who's really with me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they showed up and that's who's helped me get to this point today. You know what I'm saying? And it's been a learning lesson for sure. It's been tough. I don't want to continue to, you know, to ramble, but it's made me stronger in ways that I probably wouldn't have been as strong if it didn't happen. You know what I'm saying? Now, granted, shoot, I'm not no fool. If I could go back and change it, I would get hurt. I don't want to get hurt, but.
We've been there. Obviously, the sport that we play. Mm-hmm. I can speak to your story. I don't want to minimize it. Obviously, I have empathy and definitely respect, you know, the work that you're putting in to stay in the game and try and get back, you know, to the best, to that number two pick status and let the whole entire world know and feel you. Hell, I've been through just as much in front of 80, 90,000 people and to the point where they had given me a nickname, Fragile Fred. Well, the average career in the NFL is 3 years. I churned out 13, right? As you mentioned, you have to find ways to tune those outsiders out, you know, and figure out who's rocking with you, who's fully in your corner, your support system, and keep a tight circle. And then it also forces you to try things that you might not necessarily be comfortable with. For me, it was a sports psychiatrist who eventually became my best, one of my very good friends, and Trevor Mowat. He recently passed away. He's worked with a lot of NFL guys, and he was the toughest person I know mentally. You know, he had his own battles. But he taught me a lot, you know, in terms of taking each negatives and making positives. Always some positives in negative situations. People see me on the show, they see us, and they don't think I flinch. I go through stuff too, we all do, right? But it's all how you handle it, you know, because I don't want it to spill over to everybody else.
My first time coming back, I did that. My first surgery, like, I'm going through it now. This quad tendon tears are rare in my sport. Like, you don't see them often. So during that time, I'm as an athlete, I'm, what was I, 27, 26 at the time. I'm putting my trust in the people who they're telling me are supposed to be the best or one of the best or whatever the case may be at in the medical field, honestly. And it's a point now where I feel like it's me holding me back from maximizing my strength or maximizing whatever it is I need to do in order to get back to the athlete I'm at. So I'm seeing a psychologist. I'm talking to priests. I'm talking to preachers. I'm talking to everybody, trying to, I'm more mad at myself. Like, why am I stopping myself from getting over the hump? It was 2 years, really. It was 2 years before I really got my tendon right. And it was like, is it me? Is it me? Is it me? And then finally, after all that time, all that hard work, all that fighting, all that sweating, all that blood, sweat, and tears, it wasn't me. Like, that was the mental struggle of, like, I'm beating myself up. I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to get over the hump. I'm trying to be better. I'm trying to come back from something that is hard to come back from. And then you do all that, you exercise all that emotion, and then you gotta start all over because it wasn't you.
But it's gonna sound cliche. The thing is this, that's the process. That's life, right? You can't beat yourself up. You know, you've gone through it. You've become mentally tougher. Right?
Sure,
in the process, yeah. That was supposed to happen. Like, the injury was supposed to happen. It was supposed to happen.
But it sounds too like lack of communication, bro. Like, a lot of things you're saying, like, when you're a different place, you had to play your role. You couldn't talk to the organization and let them know that you know, this is what I do. Let me do what I do. And then with your injury, you couldn't talk to the doctors. Like, it seemed, as I'm listening to you, it seemed like lack of communication.
We can. We do. But to what extent are we going to get this information that they're giving us? Like, right now, if someone tore their quad tendon, I could rehab them back. Just come over here. Let me show you what you need to do. This is something that's new, that's rare, that doesn't happen often, that, quite frankly, I didn't go to school for. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm only going off with the people that are placed in front of me, who I assume are the best at what they do and should know what they're doing. Granted, I went under the knife and he did it wrong. And then I came out from under the knife, did all that work, worked back. And it's like, well, now, should I have trust issues? Who should I, who should I talk to? Like, what level of communication? Do I have to over-communicate? Or do you just have to, it forces you to grow up. And I wouldn't say that I was immature beforehand. Like, anybody who know me, the only thing that's immature is that I still like to watch Fresh Prince of Martin, maybe. I guess you could say
that's immature. That's not immature, you know, that's classic.
That's what I'm saying.
That's classics, though.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I still like to watch old stuff from back in the day. But other than that, like, I'm pretty mature for my age, but it's almost frustrating. Like, I'm sorry to sit here and get emotional, but it's so frustrating because it feels like, damn, like, what was the, you try to go back and you look like, what was the hidden message? Like, what was the point of going through all that? And then a year after this, I'm playing in the Eastern Conference Finals.
The hidden message. The hidden message, you know? Is what you're living is right now, right? And what we do here on The Pivot, our whole message is really giving back, right? You're going to have a lot of young guys that will watch this, like young players, NFL, or aspiring to be in the NFL, NBA, whatever they do, right? And they're going to hear what you're saying. And what they're going to say is, I can't give up. I'm going to go through some stuff. And what you'll find when you're done playing, you'll be able to go in these corporate offices and speak and be able to talk to the employees of these big corporations and really just telling them about perseverance, being mentally tough, yada, yada, yada. That's what's going to come from it. Trust me, I'm living it. And it pays well. So embrace it.
It always comes back. It always comes back to money.
It is.
And in the end, and it's going to circle back around.
But you have to take it for what it's worth. You can't have any regrets.
Because
you can't go
it's
back.
It's impossible. Yeah, yeah, for
sure. The only thing you can do now is maintenance, you know, whatever it takes to maintenance, stretching, all that other stuff that you know well about, right? And just, you know, take it as a grain of salt and get ready to go tear some shit up in these playoffs.
I think the other thing is, too, I went through, and you know, Channing makes fun of me because I don't have all my organs, but yeah.
Nothing on the inside.
Yeah, but even in going through that.
His house isn't furnished.
So I was 205 late in October. By the time I went to the hospital at the end of November, I was 165, right? And so when the doctor comes in with the test and it's not showing that anything's wrong with me, he runs down how I'm okay. I should be able to play. And then he throws me the piece of paper and goes, now I'll listen to you complain. And so at the time, I'm 165 pounds. I'm like, bro, I'm no genius and I'm not the doctor, but something is wrong with me. There's no way I can't hold down food or I can't walk straight or I can't do all of these things. Or every night at 2 a.m., I got to change my clothes because my fever is 103. So you're going through those things. And literally, it was a Thursday. And I remember I'm driving to my house. Well, Yonk is driving me to the house and I started praying in the car. Because I was the same as you. I was like, God, you have put these people in my life, or the team has put these people in my life, and they're supposed to help me. I said, you have to tell me when I need to say something. And it was the next day, I ended up calling another doctor who I had seen, and he was in New York. And I was just like, hey, man, you know, like, I gotta take another test. And he reluctantly goes, hey, man, just go. I'll set it up. You can go take the test. That was the first time they saw what was wrong. He called like 2 hours later. It's like, don't go home. Go straight to the hospital. They're waiting on you. But all of that is to say, Freddie, the next year when we come back, we win the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And every opportunity that I got to talk, they asked me about being sick, or they asked me about sickle cell or going through all those things, because now I could tell that story. They didn't necessarily care that I had played so well. They cared that I was playing, period.
Yeah.
And so you look at yourself now and you are playing and you have contributed and you have played well. When you think about where you are and where your team is right now, what's the most important thing going through your head about being in the Eastern Conference Finals?
When it comes to basketball, like, it's a different emotion and feeling for me. Like, I want to be great. Like, every second, every minute, like, I want to perfect this. And people be like, well, you're in the NBA, like, what do you mean? Like, nah. There's a certain level that I'm trying to get to, you know? And for me, I have to understand, like, that is not my role on this team. I have to understand, like, I have to be a star in this role that I'm in, you know what I mean? To be honest with you, do I want more? Of course, who doesn't want more?
Yeah.
Do I want to be an all-star again? Do I want to, you know, win championships and be the vocal point? And of course, you know what I mean? Like, who don't want that? Who doesn't see themselves as that? But right now, in this junction, I have to be a star in VO and be the best version of VO that this team needs, because they need that version. You know what I'm saying? Regardless of whatever my role is, or, you know, what they ask of me, or, you know, how much, you know, responsibility I have, they need whatever it is that they're asking of me. They need it. So I have to be a star in that. I have to embrace that. You know what I'm saying? That's the most important thing for me, is that to go out there and leave it all out there, not worry about, you know, what's going on, and worry about, you know, how I'm feeling when I'm out there. I just got to get lost in the game, if that makes sense. Well, y'all athletes, y'all know what I'm talking about.
Sure.
You got to get lost in the game. You got to get lost in the game. And there's a lot of things that come with, like, I didn't play all year. And I got kicked out the rotation at one point, and I worked my way back to playing now in the playoffs. And I have to understand, like, that's not because, you know, anything was given of me. I went and I took that.
Yeah.
So I got to understand my process and understand that it's been, you know, basically 2 or 3 years since I played for real healthy. So, you know, no, it's going to take time for me to get to where mentally and physically I want to be. But I'm still here for a reason. You know what I'm saying? And I got to, like, it's almost like blocking everything else out, blocking the rehab out, blocking, okay, now I got to do this, or blocking, you know, everything else out, and just focus on, you know, this moment. Because who is to say you'll get this opportunity again?
Right. You know, even you were playing well to close out the season in the playoffs. Atlanta, RC mentioned that, and then Kyle goes down.
Mm-hmm.
And you know your minutes would increase.
Mm-hmm.
Did you put more pressure on yourself to come in and make sure you were absolutely ready? Or?
I have been ready since.
I have been ready 2 weeks before that. I was already there mentally.
I was already there, and it just, when I went out there, my body just followed. And now it's like, okay, now you have a role on this team. That doesn't mean you have to be comfortable. Like, it's almost like you got to know your strengths and your weaknesses. For me, one of my biggest strengths is I know how to make people feel comfortable. I can go anywhere. It doesn't matter who you are. We can sit in front of you. I can go out to eat. I can make you feel comfortable. Make you feel comfortable. When VO is not at his best is when he's comfortable. So yes, I got a role. I'm feeling good, but don't get comfortable in this role. They need you to be a dog, you know what I'm saying? When you get out there on both ends. So that's what the most important thing for me is, to realize that it's not a personal thing. It's just, you know, it's just business, like they would say. You know?
Bro, I gotta ask you. So you're talking about the rotation, right? Well, you missing. Everybody knows Spo got his stuff. He going to set. He going to put in the game who he want to, and he going to play if he don't want to. Do y'all know if y'all going in, or every time Spo look down the bench, you get... Nico?
I mean, not me this time.
This time, Nico? Okay, not this time.
I mean, it just depends. You know, every game is different. You know, and as a coach, one thing that's special about Spo, I mean, one of the greatest coaches ever. He is one of the greatest coaches ever, so... He understands that. He understands that every game isn't going to be the same. And we understand that as well as players, because he helps us understand that. So You just have to be ready at all times, at whatever the cost is, whenever it is, you got to be ready because you never know what could happen. So, I mean, I'm going to be real, like the game Atlanta, Jimmy and Kyle ain't play. Spo told me that morning. I was literally on my way to the gym, like, yo, you starting tonight. I'm like, okay, all right. And just go out there and just play.
It's better than men on the airplane.
Yeah.
Hey, he never
will
get on an airplane.
No.
Nah.
Yeah,
and then, bro, why the Heat, though? Because, like, the culture and all, you'll hear the culture and everything, this Heat, you see people come up here, lose a bunch of weight. You see guys just kind of have their best seasons with the Heat, go other places and don't do nothing. You chose the Heat, and to be honest, bro, you gave up 45 M's. You turned out $45 million from Houston.
Now, let me tell you the real story.
Okay.
Because, you know, there's a lot of fabrication going on. Houston ain't offering me nothing like that. And if they were sitting in here, the upper office was sitting in here, and we was looking face to face, he'll tell you the real, too. That ain't happening.
They ain't offer you two for 45?
No.
How did that story get there? Like, where did that come from?
That's something that you gotta ask whoever put it out. I mean, it's social media. You can't control what's put out or what's not put out. But as athletes, we have to watch our perception and how we're perceived. So we can only say so much. But nah, that's not how it went.
No.
That's not how it went. But you know, it is what it is. You know, I mean, you know, it was an interesting, like, journey to get here. You know what I'm saying? Like, sitting in the meetings that I was sitting in and, you know, the dialogues I was, you know, having and listening to people and seeing, like, you guys really don't understand that I understand. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's okay. You know, it's all good. You know, one thing about it is, and then I try to tell everyone around me, I'm like, man, just make sure I'm enjoying this. Yeah. Because at the end of the day, bro, like, from where I was from, I would have been the last guy to be sitting here with y'all talking, you know, on the pivot and talking about being in the Eastern Conference playoff, being in the NBA in general. You know what I'm saying? I had a dream, obviously. I wanted to play my whole life, but my skill came a little later than everyone else's. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was like ranked 150 or something in my class coming out of high school. I didn't have no college offers going into my senior year. You know what I'm saying? The year before I got drafted number two, I was on no draft boards, none, wow. Not one, not second round, not first round, nothing. Then I got drafted number two, was in a tough situation, then boom, most improved player. Like, I got a lot of blessings, and sometimes, you know, it's as an athlete, and you know, when you start like that, like, I don't know if y'all can relate to this, but in the beginning, it was really hard for me. Like, I had to give a lot in order to get the bare minimum in the sport. Like, it's almost like you give everything you have and you're not seeing the results, but you're working hard, but you're not seeing the results. It's not translating, it's not clicking. And then eventually, you slowly but surely start building confidence. Oh, I got a little bounce now, so let me show my bounce, you know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, I can't really dribble, I can't really shoot, but I can show my bounce, you know what I'm saying? Show my bounce. Then all of a sudden, you know, you start realizing, oh, I'm faster than everybody else out here. So hold on, let me figure. That was my process of becoming who I am right now. Even when I first got to the league, it took me time. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I first got to the league, a lot of these guys, when they get drafted, they put the ball right in their hand. They say, here, lead the team. We'll figure it out. We'll put things around you. We'll give you a coach that'll help you and do all this stuff. It's a little different for me. I had mentors, you know, who weren't necessarily coaches, who didn't have that respect, but they, you know, took care of me. So it was just a process for me. It took a while for me to get to where I'm at, which is why I feel like my story is relatable to everyone.
Yeah.
I've been in every position you can imagine. Like, I'm not gonna sit on here. I'm not LeBron, you know what I'm saying? I'm not those guys right now, you know what I mean? But I've come off the bench. I've been hurt. I've played and practiced in the G League. I've done everything you can think of. So if a kid come to me and they need advice, I can relate to anyone. Not everyone can do that, you know what I mean? So I just say, you know, count it all joy. Trials and tribulations are the best kind, so.
Vic, I want to ask you, man, because I'm listening to you, and you want it now. It seems that you want
man,
it now.
Listen, bro.
So, no, but listen. You in the moment, like, yeah, please. But my question is this, right?
Listen, I've been waiting.
So, are you naturally...
How long you want me to wait, man?
Right. Are you naturally impatient, or is it that You want greatness now.
I think that is to be honest, I'm human. Like I feel like that, why shouldn't it be me? Like, I've been through everything you can imagine. I've come back from it. Like, why do I have to wait longer? You know what I'm saying? But, you know, honestly, I'm a lot better than I was a month ago. I'm even better than I was 2 months ago, 3 months ago. But it's just, you know, I mean, I guess I just want it all right now. You know what I mean? I just, you know, I don't know. I don't, I mean, I just, I've been waiting 2 years, 3 years I've been dealing with this. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, bro, I don't want to deal with this no more. It's like to the point where you're like, man, I'm so over this rehab thing. I don't even like the word. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to just be able to focus on being great. But now you it's more than that. It's a process, so you gotta understand that. And I do well, you know what I'm saying? I don't wanna sit here and be like, I'm, you know, like, oh man, this is keeping me awake at night, you know what I mean? But I'm trying my best to enjoy moments more. Like, enjoy this right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, because the last 3 years it was just about, okay, what's next? Rehab, what I gotta figure out, what I gotta do to help my knee, da 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 da. And I miss moments. You know what I'm saying? I miss moments, meaning like I miss like fun times and good conversations with people that I needed to let soak in instead of worrying about my problems, my issues. You know, so right now my life, I just turned 30 May 4th, and I told myself, that's one thing you gotta do now is like enjoy moments, B.O. Like, when it's time to work, you can work, but enjoy everything else away from work.
Chalk it up as a routine. That's
for
it.
For real.
It's your routine. It's just your routine, and that's that. Right. Yeah.
Like, we've all had to process, you know, these things, whether I think Channing's had like 17 knee surgeries or something like that, you know? And so I think, you know, you all try to deal with those things in certain ways. The things that you've learned, right? And you say you've been in like every position. I'm very similar. Like, both of these guys were drafted. I wasn't drafted, you know? So I went from a dude that was cut, working at LSU to a starter, to a Pro Bowler, to a Super Bowl champion. So I kind of feel that same way, you know, that I could relate to all of these dudes because I've been in every place. And now you're on a team that obviously has leaders and has starters and has very good players. How do you find your role as VO, the person? Not necessarily just the player, like the guy that makes everybody comfortable when it looks like you got to do it in Jimmy from the outside, like I'm not in there, that doesn't look like he cares about making people comfortable, that he's going to drive a hard bargain, that he's going to do certain things. Kyle Lowry's already won a championship. So when you look at this team, what's your place in it, and how do you find a way to fit in with those names and those people and help this team beat Boston?
First off, I think that there's a real misconception of Jimmy. I think that, you know, he understands that. You know, nobody's perfect, obviously, but he embraces it because he's true to himself. He understands who he is, and he understands, you know, just because people perceive him or think about him one way doesn't mean that that's him, you know what I mean? So he actually does a really good job of when you're on his team. You're on his team.
He said, when you're on his team.
But when you're not on his team, you don't know you're not on his team.
Right. You're one of the dudes that you gotta sneak up on slow when you meet him.
I'm telling you, that's just Jimmy, you know? And luckily, I'm on his team, you know, and I respect him for it. But, you know, to answer your question, and, you know, we have a lot of leaders, a lot of guys who are established, a lot of guys who've done a lot, you know what I mean, who've done more than me. You know, and I've always been a guy in the beginning of my career that led by example, you know what I mean? And there's still, we have an equal balance. Like, we got a few guys who are established, who've done things, and then we got some guys who are young and new, you know what I'm saying? And who've been watching. And, you know, I understand that, you know, it's all about my work, and my work is what's gonna get me to where I need to be. My work is what's the reason why I'm able to sit out all year and be in a playoff rotation and make it to the Eastern Conference Finals is because of the work I put in. So, you know, I just understand that I have to focus on that. And, you know, I'm smart enough to know when to lead and when to follow. The saying is, you know, you gotta learn to follow before you can lead. So right now, and I'm just focused on being the best follower I can be. You know what I mean? And letting those guys lead, they've earned it. They've been playing all year. They've, you know what I'm saying? Their resumes speak for themselves. You know what I mean? So I would be a fool to be like, nah, I need to be that. You know what I mean? Do I feel like I can be that one day? Of course, I will be. But right now I need to learn how to be that before I can be. And look at it like that. And then for the guys, other younger guys who are looking up to me, because I'm not, you know, I'm still 9 years in. You know what I mean? I'm not old, but I'm not like, you know, super old. Yeah, I'm old, but I'm not super old, is what I'm saying.
You're not old, boss.
But, you know, there's still guys looking up to me. Yeah. There's still guys watching me, you know, and they see me in there every day working since the day I stepped foot in that arena. You know what I mean? They see me working. So that's big too, as far as leaders go, and especially if they see you and you not necessarily one of the, you know, vocal leaders or the leader of the team, but you're still in there every day working. You know, putting in the work as if like, nah, this is my team, you know, but because it is, I'm a part of it. And y'all gotta put in the work too, you know what I'm saying? So that's really what Heat Culture is, you know, understanding that we all need to put in our part of the work in order for this thing to really work. And we do, we work, man. We get it in there.
But this your 15, and I've heard everybody hear about Heat, this your 15.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you had a bad mouth of the team, but you work harder on the Miami Heat than you did on the other four teams you played for.
Nah. I wouldn't say that. I've been a worker my whole entire life.
So what's the difference in the Heat from other organizations? Why do they have that I don't want to say taboo about it, but why do they have that reputation?
It's something that's easier to experience than it is to explain. Like, you have to be a part of it to understand, like, oh, okay, so this is Heat Culture. You know what I mean? I could try to explain it to you, and you, that's a great point. Like, you ain't work hard on no other teams. Like, but no, I did. It's just, you know, it's a different feeling. It's a different way of working in there. It's a different mentality. I think that's the biggest thing. It's like the mentality all year long has been, we understand what we need to do, you know, and what we're trying to play for. And everywhere isn't like that necessarily.
Yeah, because they get after it, though, because UD and Jimmy were about to fight in the regular season. Like, them boys get after it. Like, you be like, damn, and then everybody come out and be like, no, we good. That's how it is.
Yeah, we just want to win. That's it, bro.
Is that because you have guys like UD, who Chan just mentioned, he's a three-time champion.
Mm-hmm.
You have P.J. Tucker, who just won a year ago. Kyle, a few years ago in Toronto. And then Jimmy and the rest of the guys, Bam, the whole squad,
yeah,
they just played in the finals, in the bubble.
Yeah. We got guys who've been through some shit.
Right,
not
of
even,
course.
Not even just basketball speaking, just life in general. Like,
right.
Their path to get to where they're at now, we all been through some shit. So
what's
how
the
we
mindset
play, that chip.
As you prepare for the Celtics, what's the mindset of the locker room?
We know it's not going to be easy. We knew we wasn't going to be easy no matter who we played. We know it's not going to be easy. We know it's going to be a fight, but we all about the fight. That's what we're going to do. We're going to fight regardless, no matter what's going on, no matter what day it is, no matter what time it is. We're going to lace them up. We're going to boogie. Simple as that. It's just how it is, you know what I mean? And I'm sure they're similar. Boston's similar, I'm sure. But, you know, we looking forward to it.
You mentioned similar, though, right? And football players, we all have this perception of basketball players.
Oh, and snap.
You know, I'm just gonna
that dynamic was really college.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, look, I'm just gonna be honest. You know,
they're pleasant.
Like when Paul Pierce gets carried off and then bounces back, I'm like, look how soft. Right? Or when they hurt their wrists and they rolling on the ground, I'm like, what's wrong with your freaking legs? Like, why can't you get up and walk? But the one thing I will say, watching you guys and watching Boston play in the playoffs has been different. The physicality has been different. The willingness to lock down and play defense, to rebound, those things, I think that's the reason your two teams are in the position that you're in. When you think about that matchup and the Tatums and Jalen's and Marcus Smart and all the different players that they have, and y'all have very similar players, what's gonna be the difference in this matchup?
Just gonna have to wait and see, my guy. You gonna have to wait and see, my guy. I mean, it's great. Two great defensive teams, We got two great teams with a bunch of wings, guys who can guard multiple positions, who can put it on the floor. They got versatile bigs. It's going to be fun, man. I'm telling y'all, it's going to be good basketball. So.
Yeah, like, and that's what interests me. You know, y'all play 82 games. You know what I mean? It's hard to lock into 82 of anything, right? But then it gets down to the point, we just got to win 16 of them. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're going to focus on. Being in this position, I mean, like you said earlier, like everybody wants it, right? Everybody wants to be the guy. Everybody wants to be the star. But now when you get here, is it hard to not think too far ahead into winning it? Right, you know, because, and I say this, like Fred, one of the greatest running backs I've ever played against, he played on a lot of teams that had no hopes of winning the championship, right? And he knew that when the season started, right? I played on teams that you knew at the beginning of the season.
I played on teams.
Right. So, right. So how does it feel that you're in a different spot now, dog? Like, you with a team that can win it all. Like, you down to the last four after what you've gone through.
Yeah, it's crazy to think about it. Like, a year ago, I was laying on my back watching. And now I'm playing in the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, it's truly, like, you ever heard they say God has a human? Like, it's really funny to think about. Like, dang, like, you went from that to this. And so it's like, it's a crazy feeling because, you know, this is my first Eastern Conference Finals. It's the first time I've gotten this far in the playoffs. And you realize, like, oh, this is different, huh? Because at first, you know, you just playing basketball. You playing. You're trying to get right, trying to get better, working. And now you, like, you're at a spot. And you sitting, I'm sitting and I'm thinking, like, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, you know? But it's still basketball, you know? And everyone else is going to magnify it, of course, you know what I'm saying? That's their job. That's what everyone's job is. You're supposed to. It's sport, you know what I'm saying? But when you really understand that, it's obviously, it's important, but it's just another game. And when you're at your best is when, you know, things are at their best, meaning like the level is at their best and, you know, the atmosphere is at its best and you just got to go out there and do your best, really. It's not always going to be perfect. If you watch the games closely, it ain't always perfect, you know what I'm saying? It gets ugly at times, but, you know, you just got to have a mindset that you just got to keep playing. You got to keep rolling with the punches because they come and they trying to win too, you know what I'm saying? So I'm looking forward to the bat. I ain't really, you know, it's been a minute since, you know, I played in some basketball like this, you know what I mean? Like, and every step, every game has been like, whoa, like, it's getting, you know, it's getting better and better. The competition getting tougher and tougher, and it's not going to get any easier. So it's only making me stronger. It's making my legs stronger. It's making my body stronger. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's really helping me. Yeah, so, you know, I'm just trying to embrace it, man. I just try not to be too hard on myself as an athlete, you know what I mean? Realizing, like, bro, you missed a whole year and you got to be patient. But at the same time, you're like, man, I'm a dog, though, man. I can't make no excuses like that, you know what I'm saying? But it's reality, you know? And, you know, it's fun, man. I'm looking forward to to competing, you know, and just going out there and playing basketball.
Because y'all one of the best four teams in the league. Now, Eastern Conference, Western Conference. So y'all one of the best four teams in the league. Y'all ran through Atlanta. Y'all took 76ers-6. You know, big Heat fan, so I watch y'all boys every night.
Thank you, my guy.
When did you know, like, at what part of a season? Because you said I've been on some terrible-ass teams. And I was on team pro. I'm talking about during camp. We look around the locker room like, man, it ain't shit on this team. We can't stop nobody. We ain't going to be able to run the ball, can't throw the ball. We ain't got a quarterback. Like, in NBA, like, in the season, halfway through the season, when playoffs start, like, when does it click where you be like, oh, we legit can compete this year?
To be honest, we felt like this since day one. We felt like that we could compete for a title since day one. And we've been working towards that since the very beginning. We are fortunate enough to be able to play for still have an opportunity to accomplish that goal. And we just got to, you know, it's not going to be easy, obviously, but we've been working since the very beginning for it. So we're going to go out there and just give everything we have, you know what I'm saying?
He's smiling. Every time you talk about basketball, you start to smile.
When it's crunch time, though, when it's crunch time in this series, who get the rock?
Jimmy going to get the ball. Jimmy gonna get in. He's proven. I mean, look what he did last series. You know what I'm saying? So we got a lot of guys who can get it, really, honestly. But, you know, most would say Jimmy. We got Tyler who could get it, Bam who could get it, got K-Lo who could get it, Shoot, I could get it. You never know. That's the beauty about our team.
Are you the same defender that you were
That ain't never going to stop, bro. I probably could have been a good defender with one leg.
So, I know you're going to take yourself, but you or Pat Bev, the best defender?
I mean, I'm going to pick me, just like I'm sure he would pick him. But I'm picking me. I'm not picking Pat, bro. I'm not picking Pat Bev over me.
Freddie, did you see what he did to James Harden?
Oh, yeah.
James Harden didn't know where the basket was. He spun around so good where the basket was.
It was just I just laid that up. I knew what the answer was gonna be. And I know what he brings to the table, but sometimes that confidence isn't always there when you're dealing with certain injuries.
But the thing is, like, when you're injured, it builds the confidence back. Like, as you keep playing, as you keep trying stuff and doing things, you're like, oh wait. All right, that feel all right. And then when you get in the game, you don't even be thinking about it. You don't even be thinking about your leg. It's just like, all right, we about to just, you know, hoop, you know? So for me, you know, I just feel like defense is what I've done my whole entire life. Like, that's one thing. That's the reason why I played when I was younger. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't because I was skilled. It was because, I mean, I was all defense in college. Mm-hmm. First team all defense here in the NBA, so led the league in steals. So, I mean, I think that's really important, and I think it's really important for our team. So, you know, I just come out there, man. I just try be on 1,000 on both ends of the floor, man. That's all.
Well, this the pivot. I got a pivot, man, because I walked in my bedroom today. And my wife listened to one of your damn baby maker songs. I don't like you talking to my wife on them songs now. you really sing.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Where the hell did that come from?
In the church, really. My mom.
Choir.
The choir, church choir, from 7 to like 14.
What and you then, talking about on that album ain't from the church.
Nah.
That's secular music.
Nah, that ain't from the church at all.
Yeah.
That's from life.
Yeah, but you go, like, you can sing to a woman, like, you can get a woman singing?
I mean, for the most part, you know, I wouldn't say it hasn't worked for me.
That's cheating. I gotta work, I gotta go on dates, I gotta mow lawns, you just sing and say
sexy
crap.
Yeah, but when you hoop and you sing, man, it's tough, it's harder than people think, man, because then it's like two heads, you know what I'm saying? So they like, oh, nah, this gotta be a dragon, you can't. He hoop and he sing, you gotta, oh man, get out of here. You already trouble as it is. I can't handle both. You know what I'm saying? So, but I mean, it's cool, man. It's nice, man. I love just music in general. You know what I mean? It's just
and make me like feel a future good. In it? Are you gonna keep dropping an album when you retire?
I'm gonna drop an album this summer. Yeah. Probably, yeah. I mean, it's been a while since I took a little break, you know, dealing with, you know, priorities, but some more music coming out. I got some fire coming out for sure. I'm not even gonna lie to you. But it's pretty impressive for somebody who play basketball. And I do music, but you know what I mean. It's not like my.
Yeah, because none of y'all can't rap.
I mean, we got a few guys who
Dame
can rap.
Dame can
rap. Dame, he can rap. Iman Shumpert can rap.
Yeah, Iman
Shumpert can rap.
Who else?
Shaq's terrible. I told him to his face.
But did he go platinum or gold or something?
Shaq sold the most.
That's what I'm saying. So it must be good to somebody.
No, he's Shaq. if Shaq was 6'1", he would not sell one album.
And they call him Shaquille.
Yeah, Shaquille. He get beat up. 6'1" Shaq would got beat up every day at school.
Especially rapping.
Yeah, man, them boys can't rap. But you, no, real talk. Real my wife put me on you and singing and all that stuff. So
thank you, man. Keep sharing that, man. You know, I don't think a lot of people know, but I can hold a little tune, man. You know.
Glad I'm married. You moved down to Miami. I ain't got a chance no more.
Chill.
Well, I'm taking my heat in 5.
Uh-oh. Deep 5?
Yeah.
Not happening.
You can say
these are two really good basketball teams, bro.
I understand
teams with stars.
And they just went 6 games with James Harden and banged up face Joel Embiid. But it's going to be a fight.
Like, they're resting too.
Yeah, but what we're going to do is we're just going to get on Prize Picks and we're just going to continue to go. By the way, I'm much smarter in basketball than these two guys. Yeah, like we got a partnership. We got a partnership with Prize Picks. They'd be dead wrong. I was 5 for 5 on Friday.
You was 5 for 5.
You went 5 for 5.
I went 5 for 5.
It's player props. Nah. Over, under, this, that. He got lucky. But the other sheets was garbage.
That was a bad day. But y'all suck too. We finished like this. We talked about you singing. We talked about the perseverance and adversities that you've had to face. Do y'all win it? Are the Miami Heat the best team in basketball?
What you think I'm going to say?
I just want the truth.
Definitely.
3 more weeks, 4 more weeks.
Couple weeks.
Miami Heat had opportunity. Because I think with people, at least when I look at the team or people look at the team, and not to be disrespectful, I think it's sometimes hard for people to watch Jimmy Butler and think that Jimmy Butler can be the best basketball player on a championship team.
You know what's good? You know what's great about that? We don't care.
Yeah.
We don't care about what nobody's saying about nothing. We just about our business, man. And Jimmy the same way. That's why he our leader. That's why you see us follow. We don't care about nothing that's going on, what anybody got to say, anybody's opinions. They was telling us we was going to lose the series last series after game 4.
Yeah.
Well, we ain't worried about none of that noise, man. We focused on them 2 rims, them 4 lines, and that's it. And whoever else, the 5 they bring out there. I said, that's what we worried about, man. We not worried about nothing else. We focus on that. We focus on winning basketball games. And I think that's what makes us so good. Like, we just concerned about that. You know what I mean? So, but, you know, it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. You know what I mean? Like I said a year ago, I was watching, so I'm in it now. So I'm looking forward to it. And, you know, I'm just looking forward to keep continuing to build myself and brand myself and, you know, make people remember, because I think, you know, they forgot a little bit, but it's okay, you know, that comes with the territory, you know what I mean? And I don't plan on going nowhere but up, so just gotta keep grinding.
That's the place to end, brother. Appreciate you. Pivot.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate you.
Appreciate you. I'm rocking with.
Yes, sir.
What we gotta do?
All love, baby. I appreciate you. Hold up. Limitless. Take a stomach cap, pinning it. I fought the head to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling, got me up. On a mission, got me up. Knowing me, I got the key. On this vision, I can trust. Trust. Limitless. Take a stomach cap, pinning it. I fought the head to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling, got me up.